Hello and welcome to the Monocle Arts Review with me, Ben Rylan. Today we're tuning into the telly over in Australia to take the temperature of the country's latest dramas, docs and dating shows. Yes, you heard right. Well, joining me down the line is our Melbourne correspondent, Adrian Craddock. Adrian, welcome to the show as ever.
Hi, Ben.
Our first program that we're going to be discussing today. Now, it's called 800 Words. Now, this is a drama about a columnist from Sydney who moves to a small town in New Zealand. Interesting choice of destination. In order to process the death of his wife. Now, it's currently in its second season. It kicked off just last month. Before we proceed, however, let's hear a quick clip.
We're all looking for the good life. I chose here. Sure. Takes a bit of getting used to.
Why did you blow up our letterbox?
Did you not tell them?
Yeah. No.
There's plenty of friendly faces. They know how to celebrate.
Bad idea!
So, Adrian, going off the tone of that clip I'm hearing there, it sort of seems to fit in with this long history of Australian dramas. I'm thinking of some of the other shows that this actor, Eric Thompson, has actually been in, All Saints, perhaps Packed to the Rafters a little bit more recently as well. Is it that sort of family-centric, fun-loving sort of drama?
Yeah, this is kind of textbook Australian drama where kind of it's set in kind of a small town and kind of everyone is inexplicably kind of good looking. The dialogue's kind of full of quippy one-liners, and it kind of all centers around kind of family values. And as you mentioned, Eric Thompson is kind of the poster boy for these kind of shows. He was kind of best known for a really famous Australian show, as you mentioned, called Packed to the Rafters. And a lot of people are kind of saying that this show is kind of Packed to the Rafters 2.0. It's all about kind of a small family and, you know, how they deal with, you know, the kind of stuff that all families deal with, you know, whether it's, you know, how siblings get along, you know, how to deal with kind of relationships within the family. So it kind of almost feels like another time. It feels like it feels like a show from the mid-90s or kind of the mid-2000s. It's really kind of, yeah, it's not breaking any barriers, but at the same time, when I say that, it is weirdly comforting to watch this show.
I suppose that sort of fits in with the identity that the Seven Network in Australia has had for their dramas for quite some time now. You could sort of contrast that with another program, Offspring, which is actually streaming on Netflix over here in the United Kingdom, so a bit of an international flavour to it now. But each of the networks tend to have their own sort of distinct identity when it comes to their dramas. Channel 9 tends to go more for the crime route with Underbelly, the long-running Underbelly series. But this sort of tone of show on the Seven Network, we've had Packed to the Rafters, as you mentioned. We've also had Always Greener some years ago and All Saints, which I mentioned earlier too. It sort of fits into that, but how does that translate to audiences for today? Because it, maybe some people might argue we've all moved on, haven't we?
Yeah, I mean, you could say that this show is kind of safe, but at the same time, it seems to be working. It rated really highly last year. I mean, for the first season, it was one of the highest rating shows. And I mean, if you listen to kind of the executives at Seven, it seems like this is a bit of a winning formula for them. I mean, I came across one quote about this show where kind of the head of programming was saying that, you know, if this has the same feel and vibe as Packed to the Rafters, this show that we keep talking about, you're dead right. And we make no apologies for that. You know, this is a winning formula, and it seems like they're kind of sticking to it.
Well, on that program, he had some help from Rebecca Gibney, who, of course, is another darling of Australian television. He's previously starred opposite Georgie Parker back in the 90s, early 2000s as well. And, I mean, if we're talking about Australian television, there's usually more than just one star. There's I suppose you could argue there's few people in Australia working in television who are a big enough presence to carry a program over various seasons all on their own. Who's he got on his side here for this new program?
There's a lot of Kiwi talent as well. So it's a co-production between Australian production companies and Kiwi production companies. So there's a lot of there's a few faces that I recognise from kind of the Flight of the Conchords shows, and also a few other kind of quite well-known Kiwi comedies. Funnily enough, the Kiwis really shine in this show. There's a lot of really, really funny New Zealand characters, more so than any of the Australian characters. In fact, kind of one of the big parts of comedy, one of the biggest sources of comedy, rather, in this show is kind of the clashes of culture. So in the first episode of season two of 800 Words, you know, it's all about how Kiwis celebrate Guy Fawkes Night and how it's a really big deal over there. And, you know, there are all these kind of explosions and of fireworks and bonfires and stuff like that. And the main character kind of seems completely bewildered by that. And, you know, that might sound like a bit of a, you know, light example, but there's stuff like that peppered throughout the whole series, and it actually makes for some fairly funny moments.
Oh, the Australians do love making fun of that New Zealand accent, don't they? Yeah. I'm reminded of the mainland cheese ads with those little men that used to hide in the fridge. But we need to move on to something else now. So we'll go from domestic drama to, well, you could say domestic documentary. The ABC has just released a two-part series where the former Australian Prime Minister John Howard explores the legacy of Robert Menzies. He was, of course, Australia's longest-serving Prime Minister. Adrian, I was actually at the launch for Mr. Howard's book that this documentary is based upon a little while ago, and Mr. Howard spoke with such admiration. You could really see that something else was ignited within him when he spoke about Menzies. It's definitely tapping into a passion that he has, a political passion. Did you get that when you're watching the documentary? Does he exude that same sort of enthusiasm?
Yeah, well, it's actually it's a bit of a funny one because this documentary is broadcast on Australia's public TV network, the ABC, and a big central part of their operations is political neutrality. So you can see throughout the documentary that the producers have really gone to pains to make sure that it's a really balanced view of Menzies, who, as you mentioned, is Australia's longest-serving Prime Minister. And for people who might not be familiar with Australian politics, he served, you know, right at the start of World War II, and he lost the leadership and then came back in 1949 and went all the way up to 1966. But, yeah, you can definitely tell that, just even from kind of John Howard's facial expressions when he talks about Menzies and kind of the kind of facts that he kind of explores throughout the series, that he does definitely admire Menzies. And there are also kind of parts throughout the documentary where he draws quite explicit parallels between Menzies' career and his own career. So, for example, John Howard, who is also a Liberal, he also lost the leadership at one stage, and he also had to deal with kind of overseas conflicts in the form of Iraq. Obviously, you know, it wasn't at the same scale as World War II. But yeah, it is interesting to see that parallel. And aside from anything, you know, the surprising thing about this documentary is it's incredibly well shot. It's actually really, really beautiful. And a lot of that has to do with the fact that Menzies himself was a really early adopter of camcorders, which surprised me. I didn't know this. He was kind of one of the first people to have a home, kind of one of the first politicians to have a home movie camera, and he used to take this all around with him around the world and record these world events around him. So there's some incredible footage of, you know, him in the visiting troops in the Second World War and him visiting with world leaders, and it's all recorded by Menzies himself. So that's something that's really intriguing and great to watch in this documentary.
Now, to a lot of people listening internationally, I would suggest that Australian politics probably wouldn't promote itself as an obvious choice for what could be described as thrilling television. But then I would also challenge people to go and watch another documentary that the ABC produced, The Killing Season, about the Kevin Rudd and Julia Gillard years and those that tumultuous game of musical chairs in the nation's capital. That was Sarah Ferguson was behind that and was a large reason for why that documentary came together so well. We're talking about someone here, Sir Robert Menzies, who has had a very, very long political career, but that doesn't necessarily translate itself to some sort of thrilling experience. Is there a storyline here that can be latched onto, or is it really more of a portrait of many, many years in office? Because having seen a few of those, sometimes that can prove so epic that it just falls into a little bit of, oh, and then this happened, and then this happened. How did it feel for you when you were watching it?
You're right in the fact that, you know, there's a lot of ground to cover, and that's probably why they've split it into two episodes. So there's 2 one-hour episodes that John Howard covers. I think the thing that makes this interesting and helps it avoid some of those pitfalls that you were talking about is the lineup of guests and talking heads that John Howard and his producers have managed to wrangle together for this. So it's actually pretty incredible. They've got some real kind of heavy hitters. So they've got Malcolm Turnbull, the current Australian Prime Minister, but also they have kind of unexpected people like Barry Humphries, who, you know, he actually doesn't give that many interviews out of character outside of Dame Edna Everidge. And, you know, people also like Rupert Murdoch pops up. So there are some really fascinating insights. And I think the tension that keeps this documentary moving is the fact that Menzies himself is a fairly, you could say he is a fairly controversial figure in Australian politics, in that a lot of people on the left see him as kind of putting the country into neutral. That's a phrase that's used in this documentary. He kind of, took his foot off the pedal a little bit, and maybe Australia missed out on some economic opportunities under his leadership. But on the right, he's seen as kind of one of the great statesmen, and obviously, as you kind of alluded to, I would say John Howard definitely believes that. So, I think that's how this documentary avoids, you know, being pretty dry, is the fact that, you know, there are a lot of really interesting people debating this figure who has played an enormous role in Australian politics.
Well, the final episode of the documentary series will air on the ABC this Sunday at 7:40 p.m. Now, if you are listening internationally, do not fear. There will no doubt be some way of capturing that at some point. Now, just finally today, we need to squeeze in this one. It will take us to China, sort of. It's the country's biggest ever dating show that's also been a hit in Australia. It's called If You Are the One. Perhaps, Adrian, you could begin by telling us about the format of the show, because, I mean, it does have a bit of a cult following in Australia, doesn't it?
Before we talk about anything relating to this show, I just want to say I love If You Are the One. It's my favourite pick of these three. It's a show that is broadcast on SBS2, which is another kind of government-funded channel in Australia. And what it is it's a huge dating show, and how it works is kind of a big group of women are on this show. They're all arranged in a semicircle on stage, and in front of them they have like a little pedestal with a light on it. And one by one, men are kind of trotted out in front of them, and they kind of give a sales pitch about why they are kind of an incredible dating partner, why they would be a great kind of romantic partner. And one by one, the women, if they're interested, they keep their lights on. But if they're not interested, they'll press the light and, you know, they'll show that, you know, this person is not the one for them. As you mentioned, this show has just managed to really catch on in Australia. Perhaps it has to do with its time slot. It's kind of on, you know, around about, 5:30 or 6, you know, as you get home from work, you'll often find yourself, you know, flicking through the channels and If You Are the One is on. And it's just incredibly compelling viewing. And I think the main reason is probably how incredibly brutal the women are in this show. You know, if this concept was done in the US or even in Australia, you know, there would be this kind of veneer of politeness, I would imagine. You know, people would kind of you know, skirt around and be quite delicate about why they didn't like the person in front of them, and or you know, be very thoughtful about everyone's feelings. But it just seems like on this show, the women and the way they express themselves, it's just incredibly brutal, and they're so honest. Like, so, you know, a guy might walk out in front of them and you know, the women who are interviewed intermittently throughout the process, you know, one of them might say, oh, you know, you look like a bit of a sissy. I don't think you're the one for me. Or you know, you don't exercise at all, do you? Oh, that's kind of disgusting. I'm not gonna spend my life with you. Or, you know, you look like a dried noodle. That's a quote actually that I've heard. One of the women accused the men of looking like a dried noodle. It's just so hard to look away. I love it.
Sounds absolutely bizarre and fantastic. Exactly what you would expect from SBS2 over in Australia. That is If You Are the One. It airs on SBS2 and you can watch previous episodes over at SBS On Demand. And that indeed brings us to the end of today's program. Thanks to my guest, Adrian Craddock in Melbourne. You've been listening to The Monocle Arts Review with me, Ben Ryland. My producer was Holly Fisher and the show was researched by Fernando Augusto Pacheco. Join us again at the same time tomorrow for our weekly book review. But for now, thanks for listening and goodbye.